Another year of EKU athletics is in the books, and what a year it was. Over the last 10 months, Colonel Nation, you've been the witness to memorable moments, some record-setting performances, and unforgettable victories across nearly every sport. Welcome in to another edition of the Kicking It With the Colonels podcast, presented by UK Sports Medicine. I'm Wes Chandler. As we look back at the 2025-26 athletic year, there is certainly no shortage of highlights to go over. Soccer went unbeaten at home and posted the highest RPI in program history. Volleyball put together a 22-win season and advanced all the way to the A-Sun Championship match. Football delivered one of the year's signature moments with a thrilling come-from-behind victory over nationally-ranked Austin Peay. Women's basketball, they rewrote the record book, winning an A-Sun regular season conference championship, and who can forget about that great, phenomenal win over number one seed Utah in the first round of the WBIT. On the men's side, how about that electric atmosphere at Baptist Health Arena as the Colonels erased a 21-point deficit against Florida Gulf Coast to knock off the Eagles? Beach volleyball set a program record for victories. Softball had a pivotal sweep over North Alabama, who was number one in the A-Sun standings at the time they played. Baseball went on the road and knocked off rival Western Kentucky. Men's track and field crafted an incredible season with a top 40 finish at the NCAA Outdoor Championships, highlighted by a bronze medal in the steeplechase. Women's track and field celebrated a first-team All-American honor. On the golf course, Anders Larsson and Kara Tucker picked up individual victories at Florida State and Illinois State while playing some of the best golf of their careers, something I'm jealous over. We're less than 70 days away from the kickoff of the 2026 football season, and before you know it, another year of EKU athletics will be underway. We're even less than that before EKU Athletics takes the field in the spring. On August 12th, soccer will be taking on their first match on the road at Cincinnati. 4 days later, they will come to the EKU Soccer Complex for their first home game. So there's so much to be excited about here at EKU. And as we turn the page to what's ahead, we're joined on this episode by EKU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Kyle Motes. We'll look back on the successes of the past year, discuss the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead, and get his perspective on what the future of Colonel Athletics looks like. It's our annual State of the Colonels conversation, and we're glad you're with us. This is Kicking It With the Colonels. Always an open invitation for Kyle Motes here on the Kicking It With the Colonels podcast, presented by UK Sports Medicine. Kyle, as always, we appreciate the time. How's your summer been?
Well, so far, so good. A lot of youth baseball has been going on, but getting ready for some moves and some changes physically within our department. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's been a good summer so far.
Now, you're not going to be one of those parents or grandparents that's going to get tossed out of a Little League game, are you?
No. I tend to sit down at the outfield fence and just observe. That's what I do now, and that's good. I like to listen to everybody else be silly and foolish, but I try to stay out of that.
This year will be your third year here now at EKU, and this will be how many for you as an AD overall?
Oh, wow, that's a really good question. I'm not sure about that. I started in 88 as a GA and full-time 90, so we're 26. That's, what, 36 years, and there's one out of there. So 35 years, I guess it would be. That's doesn't seem quite possible. They've gone awful fast.
And I'm sure, I know we talked a little bit about this last year, but you couldn't have imagined everything that when you started to what it is now.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. We've almost, I don't want to say come full circle, because when you come full circle, it's where it's amateurism, and now I would argue it's not so much amateurism. So is that 360? Depends on what the circle is. But we certainly have some folks that aren't receiving revenue share, but we have a lot of people that do receive revenue share. So that's probably the biggest part. Certainly everything else, I don't know if it's that much different. It's still competition. You still have to go out and play, and you still have to be eligible. You got to go to school. All those things, how you go to school, the modalities, and those types of things are different. But the premise is still there. It's just there's certainly some things that lead to things that aren't so much amateurism.
When you reflect on last year, the whole 25-26 calendar year for EKU athletics, give us a short synopsis of what that was like for you, and what maybe are you most proud of from the past year?
Yeah, I think I'm always proud of our student athletes. I think they play really hard and represent us well collectively. We've got 400 student athletes, and I think they do a great job. You see most of them or hear about most of them based upon what they do on the field, but they graduate. They're really good in the classroom. They do great things in the community, and they represent us well. So those are some other things that we don't always see. But, you know, I think you look back, just my 2 cents worth, the win with women's basketball at home against Utah and the WNIT is you know, that to me is the kind of the one thing that sticks out in my mind is one of the highlights. That was a lot of fun, and it's always fun to win, and you don't get power fives coming to your place very often. So when you do get them to come to your place and you happen to win, and again, and probably the largest stage we've been in except for the NCAA tournament, that was a pretty big deal. The fact that we had All-Americans in track, which I know we always seem to have All-Americans in track, but we had, I think, four. We had a couple in cross-country. We had one in indoor. So 7 All-Americans at EKU is pretty good. That's a pretty good deal. So those two things, volleyball had a great year. You know, we played super, got beat down in the championship down in Florida Gulf Coast, but, you know, Central Arc played well, but we had a great year. So I think of those things just from a competitive standpoint that were pretty exciting. We'd like to get some more conference championships. We'd like to be in the NCAA tournament. That's always our goal.
And you touched on it a little bit briefly. There were so many teams that had great successes last year, several 20-win seasons for different sports. As an athletic department, I'm sure you're always trying to take that next step, no matter how successful you were. For those to take that next step, ultimately get to an NCAA tournament or get a conference championship for those that didn't, what will that take in your opinion?
Well, I always think it's two things, and they go together. One, you've got to have good coaches, and those coaches have to be able to find talent, right? And then if you have good talent, you're probably going to have a better chance of going on to a conference tournament or the NCAA. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds really basic, but it's a little bit different now than maybe it used to be because the NIL and you've got kids transferring mm-hmm. so much. You know, your team may flip, not completely, and I'm talking about football may lose 30 or 40 kids. We thought that might have been devastating before. Well, it's a reality. That's what happens every year now. Basketball, you lose 7-8 kids, regardless if it's men or women. Baseball, I mean, some sports are better about keeping student-athletes, but you still have to identify talent, and you have to coach them. And that's what we have to do a better job of, right? If we're going to get to that next level, then we've got to do a better job on those two areas, which means we have to give the resources to those coaches and those players to be the best that they can be. And that's always been the case.
From your standpoint, what were the differences from year one to year two for you when you look back to last year?
Yeah, I don't think it was so much the athletic side as it was the university side. Just understanding how things work at EKU, who the players are, who you have to work with, how their personalities are, those to me are just as important as understanding your own teams here and what goes on. Again, we give the resources to the coaches. The coaches kind of have to do what they have to do, but you need a lot of help from the university side. So I think that first year and a half, has been trying to understand how we do things here at the university.
All right, you're in the biggest stage. You're the top dog. Give the current, if you were to give a current state of the Colonels, little short synopsis of where the program is and where the department is right now and what that future looks like for EKU, what would you say?
Yeah, I think we're just on the cusp, I think, of busting loose. And I know that sounds like, you know, like the Chicago Cubs every year, right? Mm-hmm. And no offense to people around here, they don't like the Cubs. But we have the resources, to be successful. Do our resources need to enhance and be better? Sure. But we're going to go into a new league. I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
I think that gives us optimism, and it gives us a new set of competition and teams that we'll go against. We had the best year we've had. We've had more money in sponsorship and more money from the foundation side. I appreciate all those people, Sean and Terry Johnson, doing all the work there, and we need that. If we're going to stay ahead and not get too far behind, those are the two areas that we have to be very good at. So I think we still need everybody's help. Doesn't mean we've made it. Doesn't mean that we've got everything that we need. But I think the biggest thing is that the mentality of our fans and even the general public, that the NIL, the revenue share, is a real thing. It's not going away, and we're going to have to embrace that if we're going to be at the highest level. And that would probably be my biggest challenge to everybody.
Visiting with Vice President and Director of Athletics Kyle Motes here on the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast presented by UK Sports Medicine. Will you kind of lead me into where I wanted to go now in talking about this new conference? Next week, it'll be official, moving July 1 to the United Athletic Conferences. From a fan standpoint, what similarities and what differences can they expect from what they saw in the A-Sun?
Yeah, there won't be much difference in football, right, because we were already in the UAC in football. The change there would be we're going to have West Florida as a new member. So they'll be added to the list of on the road going to Pensacola, I believe. So that's a good addition. I think that'll be a good thing for our football league. It remains to be seen how things are going to go on the UAC side. There's a lot of teams that we're still playing. We pick up the Texas schools. We pick up Little Rock. Those will be tough places. Those two schools, Tarleton and Abilene, have a lot of resources. They have strong financial backings, and they've got great recruiting bases in the state of Texas. So it'll be interesting to see how things go there. Little Rock came from the Sun Belt. I know they were in the OVC, but they came from the Sun Belt. And their budgets have basically remained the same as they were in the Sun Belt, which was still better than the OVC, even the A-Sun, and probably better than the UAC in certain sports. So I think they'll be very competitive. So I think this league is going to be tough, no question about it. And I look forward to seeing how we do against those teams.
Well, this consortium between the UAC and the A-Sun has ultimately led to them rebranding themselves as the newly minted Unisun Conference or Unisun Sports. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, I think what you're going to have there, you've got a conglomeration of X amount of schools. I don't know how many exactly there are between the two, but when you go out to sponsorship and you look at media rights, they'll look at that, and I think that will help us in terms of numbers. We'll go all the way from Texas to Florida and in significant areas. So I think that will help us from a sponsorship perspective, and as I mentioned, from a media rights. I think those are going to come out here pretty soon, and I think you'll see that those numbers certainly have improved from what they were when we just were with the A-Sun. So I think you have the ability to kind of spread who you are. We've got alums in all those areas that will help. And I think just the ability to have the crossover, we call them crossover games, scheduling becomes difficult. In some of those areas, it's more difficult to schedule than maybe it is here in Richmond. But nonetheless, we'll have the ability to pick from different crossover games that will make sense to us. Like, we're not going to lose Bellarmine, right? There's no sense in losing Bellarmine. That would make no sense. You might pick up a Queens, too, because they're relatively close. So a couple of those games, we found it hard to schedule from a basketball perspective. We should be easier for us to schedule. That'll be probably the thing that I think people will see the most.
And would that be based off geography?
Yeah, I think predominantly geography, exactly.
What excites you the most about this new conference? Because this conference that EKU is going to has always seemed like they've been proactive in getting ahead of what they think is going to be college athletics here in the next few years.
Yeah, what excites me is the curiosity of the merging of the two with kind of the one administrative concept. That's new. Nobody's done that, right? So I think the curiosity and to see how that's going to play probably has me most excited and most interested. And I appreciate the fact that the presidents have done something different than anybody else has done. The competition is a competition. I think we can be very competitive in this league. I like our chances in every single sport. So I just want to get to where we can win the conference championship, whatever conference that is, mm-hmm. and get to the NCAA tournament. And I think this league is certainly very competitive, as the A-Sun was, but I think we have our chance to be really good.
And obviously you don't have to go into full detail of what kind of happens in between those meetings. Do you feel like that is a universal thing across the teams in this new conference, that they're excited and ready to go and doing whatever it needs to be to compete?
Yeah, I think they're excited, but I think that the curiosity, and again, that's not a negative. It's just, how is this going to work out, right? And it's up to us, athletic directors and presidents, to make it work. And I like the concept. I think it will work. Will there be some bumps in the road a little bit to what we're trying to do? But each time we meet, we move further and further along. And I look forward to the concept of how it's going to work and how it can help all of our schools. Because we're not just four or five, we're, 12, 15, 16 schools that can leverage what we have to make something bigger and better.
For the longest time, shifting off that a little bit now, for the longest time, EKU's always had success from their student-athletes in the classroom. And that's no different again this year, bringing home some hardware. Tell us about that and how much of a role that plays.
Well, you're right. We've had great success in academics here for, 20, 25 years. So I don't take any credit with coming in here and changing everything around. Our Bratsky Center has done a marvelous job. And in order to do well in the classroom, it has to be the coaches have to pick the right kids. The kids have to do the right thing. The Bratsky Center's got to help. There's a lot of pieces to that. It you give most of the credit to the student athlete, but you got to have all those pieces go together. And this is a great year. We were fortunate to win the Presidential Academic Award through the A-Sun, which means we're the best academic school in the conference, which gives me a lot of pride. And I told this to some folks and some donors there tonight, and told it to President's Council, and we're proud about that. We win championships, everybody knows about it. You win these types of things, not everybody knows about it. But it's equally, if not more important, that we're graduating a lot of kids, and a lot of kids are 4.0, which hard for me to believe. We got 4.0s as many as we have, and they're out there doing what they're doing. And so I'm proud of them, and they don't get enough credit for that. But we're going to give them credit because it's a big deal.
And I know when on a night like a basketball night, they'll have Colonel Scholars and all the high-achieving students will go out on the floor. And that line just seems to never end.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. We probably should have the football field instead of the basketball stadium because you're right.
Yeah.
We've got 400 student-athletes, give or take, and we probably got 75% of our kids, if not more, having an academic award. So that's a great thing. Our goal is to make sure 100% gets them. Mm-hmm. That's what the goal would be. But we certainly are proud of what they've done.
Well, that goal will certainly be winning conference championships and winning in the classroom again next year in the USC.
They're not mutually exclusive. Yep. You can do both.
Yeah. Going to the current landscape of college athletics now, you're starting to see governments be more involved in college athletics, and you throw out some legislation like the Save College Sports Act or Save the College Sports Act trying to be passed by U.S. senators now. How do you see that impacting, and how will that impact EKU?
Well, that's a really good question, Wes. I think what we're looking for is a little bit of help on the antitrust. Not completely being antitrust, but some, for example, we can't have rules that we make and then a state AG just change things for that state. We can't have that, right? So we have to have a little antitrust to make sure what we agree on, right? We all agreed to this, the NCAA and the schools, that the rules are the rules. So that would be the first thing, right? Which I know sounds extraordinarily simple, but it's not the case. The second part of that is I'm not convinced that we need to have all of our student-athletes employees. We're the employer. They're the employees. I don't think that's the way we want to go. And I'm not smart enough to know how we can collective bargain, because nobody likes that term, but we have to have some of that, right? I think the student-athlete has to be at the table or represented in committees, and we're trying to do that more with the NCAA. They're on our working groups. So they there needs to be more of their voice in order to make these kind of changes that affect them. So I don't know how that's going to go, and I know that's kind of taboo saying those types of things, but I do believe if it's going to work, there has to be, you know, communication and collaboration on both sides. And I think, again, I've been on committees and working groups where the NCAA has, we have student representation, but we need to have more of that. So those are the things that kind of stick out. You hear some other things about, you know, media rights being combined and pooled. You hear things about coaches can't leave during the school year. I think that was one of the clauses in there. It's a 114-page bill. That's a big bill. There'll be negotiation with that. It won't make it all the way to the finish line. I hope we get something. I think we have to get something because we can't continue to stay in the state that we're in. You know, I talked to most people. I think they've kind of gotten over the fact that we're paying or the revenue share. You either have a, you know, either you like it or you don't like it. That's pretty standard, but I think where people get most frustrated is a transfer portal and this transfer concept of you just can leave anytime you want to leave and an endless amount, you know, if you're at five different schools. And we're asking our fans, you know, to get behind us, and they don't even know what team we have. So it's just that part of it, I think, is as much of an issue as anything is. And we've got to curtail that where the transfer part can't happen as often as it does. And quite frankly, it doesn't help them academically. The data shows the more you transfer, the less chance you have of graduating. So nothing's good about it. We got ourselves in this. Now we're going to have to get ourselves out of it. But that's why I think this collective bargaining, and again, we can use a different word if we want to, but there needs to be a little bit more collaboration between both parties. But I know it looks like it's broken. So many people are frustrated with college athletics, and it's something that's so great. It's so unique to us. You know, when we got into this, a lot of us involved, we love college athletics. It separated us from everybody else. And right now we're hurting ourselves, and we got to get it figured out so we don't lose it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this current legislation, if some of it gets passed, it would limit the transfer amount to just one, right? Unless there's a coaching change, or how would that work?
Yeah, I think that, too, to be determined. I think that might have been what was offered. But, again, I would not have any objection if you if a coach did leave, you could move. If you graduated, you could move. You know, there's where we get in trouble is we get all these waivers, right? Everybody wants exceptions. We've got coaches that live by exceptions. That's never how I thought it was going to work, right? I don't believe in that. I think that's probably the wrong approach if we're trying to get things accomplished. You know, we've got the 5-for-5 rule that is being talked about, where you start at a certain date. You've got 5 years, regardless if it's a red shirt year. There are a couple of exceptions to that, religious, or if you're a female and you happen to get pregnant, or there's some military obligation. Those are the three things that would allow you maybe to have more than 5 years. But we don't need to have a lot of waivers.
Right.
Let's just have, you know, I actually think they're going to vote on that today or tomorrow maybe. And that won't eliminate the lawsuits, but I do think in time it will eliminate the waivers. Mm-hmm. And if we get rid of the waivers, then we can kind of move and go forward.
How does EKU continue to be creative in trying to get ahead of all this, like the rev share, the fundraising, NIL? How do you attack that?
Well, I think part of that is difficult because at our level, where we're at right now, you know, we're reacting to whatever happens by the Power Five, and then we all, not just EKU, but our level and everybody else besides what appears to be the SEC and the Big Ten, we all have to react. So I think we've probably not done as good a job consolidating those that are like us and pooling our wealth and our opinions together. For example, you know, the ASUN, the SoCon, the Valley, all those, mm-hmm. could, you know, the Big Sky, probably should have pooled together and been more together when this thing started. But it's hard to do that when you're reacting right to the things that you're going to be told what you're going to have to do.
Right.
So that's just one concept. But I think, you know, the conference realignment discussion 3 or 4 years from now when the media rights deal comes up at the top, there may be a whole nother shuffle, you know. And I think that is when I think we kind of look at each other and say, hey, who do we want to be like? how can we be, you know, I don't want to say equal. You're never equal, but you don't want somebody that's got 40% more budget than you've got. That's probably hard to compete with that. And they're doing that now in some of the bigger leagues, but even then it's really hard to do. But how do we get ahead? I'm not skirting your question. I think our facilities have to be up to par. We still are trying to attract student athletes. They see that. Our NIL, we've got to let people know why we're doing it, what the reason is, and then we have to show results. If we can say, hey, the money we're getting and how that's working, and then we're successful, then there's a direct correlation between that. So I think always, you know, the university's got to do well because we get subsidized by the university. That's where we get most of our money. So enrollment is really important for athletics. So the better we can do there, it helps everybody. And I think the DO school, Wes, is going to help. I know that's down the road 3 or 4 years from now or 5 years, whatever the number is. But that will help in the long run. I'm a big proponent of the DO school. I think that looks good on the outside, not just from an athletics perspective, but it helps the reputation of the university. And I think from a revenue standpoint, eventually, you know, that may be down the road quite a ways, but that will help us.
For those that don't know what that is, tell them a little bit more about
well,
that.
Well, the DO school is basically just, it's not a med school, but it's a place where we can develop physicians that can go out and help in the rural areas that Kentucky needs so bad. And that's, I'm paraphrasing that, but that's what we plan to do and what we need.
Do you feel like there's more clarity in NIL now than there was this time last year? And two-part question, and how does EKU stack up with other mid-majors? And we're going into this new conference of all these Texas schools that seem to have a little bit more. How does EKU stack up with that?
Yeah, just to be clear, the NIL is a little different than the rev share. The NIL is part of the rev share. And again, you can put all that together. NIL is basically the endorsement part of it, right? You go out and you get endorsements and you get paid based upon those endorsements. You can't just get money. The NIL is you have to do something to get the money. So, again, we have to have sponsors out there that feel like there's a reason to have our student-athletes endorse their products or do a service. You can do lessons. You can do birthday party, whatever it may be. They have to feel like there's a value for our kids, excuse me, our student-athletes to use them. The rev share is just something that we can add to the university. It can be academics. It can be part NIL, certainly. And what is our package that we can present to student athletes? You know, our tuition and I think all in is $30,000 to $35,000. That's part of it, and then other monies that you can find to go along with it. So we're probably, you know, we're not the top, we're certainly not the bottom, but I would argue that, I think I've said this before on this podcast, I might have said it two times before, I don't believe you have to have the most, right? I've never believed that you've had to have the most. But you got to be at least halfway or a top third to have a chance to be consistently successful. So I'm not in the camp you have to have the most. Everybody says, well, you should want the most. That doesn't mean we're not trying to get the most, right? I don't want to make I want to make sure that people don't misconstrue me as saying, well, he's okay with just fundraising 75%. No, that's not the case. We want as much as we can possibly get, and then we'll reimburse that or put it back into our teams. But I don't believe you have to have the most necessarily to be the most successful.
Wrapping up here in just a couple minutes here with Vice President and Director of Athletics Kyle Motes here on the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast, presented by UK Sports Medicine. And every business model seems to have those short and long-term visions for what they want their company to look like in a year from now and maybe 4 or 5 years from now. What is that for EKU?
Yeah, I'm intrigued here the last, I don't know, 6 to 8 months, and I'm probably late to the party, but I'm intrigued about how AI can help us. I think that's an area where, you know, everybody's going to be using AI, but I think that's an area that we've got to embrace and maybe understand a little bit better and use that. So I would say technology, as always, is going to be something that we look forward to, and AI would be it. I'm looking forward to see how we do in this new conference, right? That's we need to dominate this conference, whether or not it's in most of our sports, if it If it happens to be in football only, doesn't matter to me, but the more we can dominate, the better. I think that brings value to the university, brings value to who we are nationally, and then when we get to that 3 or 4 year mark, we'll be more competitive, we'll be more apt to have people look at us if that landscape changes, right? And I assume it's going to change. That's no knock on any conference that you're currently in or were in. It's not a knock on them. It's just the things are going to change. So you want to be ready to go and have your best foot forward if that comes up, right? That's, I've always said that. If it always comes up, if we get the opportunity, we need to be ready to go. But we've got to keep building and keep getting better should that happen. So I think where we are is one thing. Two, technology is the second thing. And then I think facilities do matter, always matter. So I think if I could wave my magic wand, I'd like to improve our facilities in terms of indoor facility. That would help all of our sports. That one's a big one. I think we're pretty good in everything else. Certainly, football stadium, Coach Kidd Stadium, Roy Kidd Stadium needs a little help on one side, as we know. That would be where I'd put my other wave my wand. But the money was going to end up going back into the players. That's if I had all the money, I'd dump a lot of that because it's about players. We're a players' league. We're a players' division, really, that we've got to be able to get players there. So facilities, technology, and money for our players would be, if I could have my wishes, that would be where it's at. Yeah. So, again, I think our ticket prices are good. Those aren't taking people away, but the better our product is, the more people will have.
And do you feel like most of those can be short-term?
If you find the right person or persons, right? It's really about trying to find the funding to be able to do that. So it could be the geographics and where you are and where that's going to end up in 3 or 4 years necessarily isn't short-term, depending on what you mm-hmm. think short-term is. But, we need to be good at we need to be good in the UAC. We just got – we're going to be there in a day or two, so let's worry about where we're at.
That's definitely short term.
Yeah, that for sure. Let's worry about doing well there and improving where we stand. That's the first thing. I think the other things just depend on if you can find people and you develop relationships and they believe in what we're doing. They can be short term. And, we need some of those things to keep expanding and keep growing and for people to want to come here.
The term student athlete experience is now more important than ever. How does EKU treat that, just to be able to give the student athletes the best possible experience while they're here?
Well, I think it goes back to education. You have to have the programs that they want, mm-hmm. right? I know everybody thinks we're just coming here to play sports. I disagree with that. Right. You have some people that have decided that's what they're going to do, but not 400 of them. Right, there's some have chosen that that's the way they want to think. That's fine, but that's not the majority of our folks. The majority of our folks are coming here to get an education, to get a degree, and go out and make life better for themselves. So, the degree programs are one thing too. We are in a great area. Richmond and Central Kentucky is one of the best places in the country. And I've been to other places. I've been here before. It's always been our favorite place. We love it here. And I think if you're from outside the area, you're from internationally, you find out that, hey, it's a pretty neat area. So that's an easy one because of geographics, our school, and then we just have to be able to compete and win championships. People like to go to where you can win. They want to go to where winners are. So those are the things that we're going to have to continue to try to keep up, give opportunities for our student-athletes to have things to do in the community, and we all have to do that together, right? The city's got to help out with that. That's always a big lift between the university and the city to do things that help one another, and we should work together because it's a benefit for both of us.
Winning certainly is the biggest recruiter, for sure.
Certainly helps.
When you look at the calendar, less than 70 days between now and start of football season, what intrigues me most about this football season is being obviously not year one of the UAC for them, but it's – you're playing Jacksonville State again. You have bring back some of those rivals. Tennessee Tech is on the schedule. And then you keep Austin Peay. You're forming new rivals with teams like Central Arkansas, Abilene Christian. And it's just really exciting. What are your thoughts going into this football season?
Well, I always am excited about football season. I just think, you know, with the tradition and history we have here, the expectation of what we have here at Eastern, all those things excite me. Yeah, with the schools that you mentioned, I think those are good. I'd like to have teams that people are familiar with. I think that helps when we talk about these types of things. So the fact that we are going to have those teams and we're going to play those teams, I hope that it's nice weather, and I hope people want to come out and watch that, because we'll be competitive. I mean, Coach Wells is always competitive, and I look forward to playing those schools. Tarlington, you know, we happened to beat Tarlington down there last time we were down there. Austin Peay's always a good rivalry. So, yeah, I mean, Tennessee Tech is good. They've been a long-time foe in our couple previous conferences ago. So I think the familiarity of those teams help our fan, and I think that's important.
And I think, too, you're especially going to see, you talked about West Florida coming in. They're just a couple of years removed from a D2 national championship.
Yeah, I think we saw that in North Alabama and West Georgia, right? Yeah. I mean, those two teams are pretty good, and they're coming from the same pedigree. So I agree. I think this is going to be a really, really good football league. Those are key football areas, right? Texas, Florida, and Georgia. They don't get much better than that. I'm not sure where you're going to get better football. Maybe, I don't know about better, but Ohio or Pennsylvania may be some pretty good ones too. But those three are three of the best in the country. So that's good for us if we can compete and win those games. You know, the UAC has proven, you know, we are, I think we got three teams in 2 years ago. I think we got two teams in last year. So we're a multi-team league to get in the FCS championship. So, you know, you got the Valley, you got the Big Sky, and then after that it becomes, you know, who knows. But I think our reputation is really good in football. It will help if we play collectively a good non-conference schedule. If you're going to get multiple teams in, you got to play a good non-conference schedule, everybody. So I look forward to it. If you come out of our league, you're going to be a national seed, no question about it. You're going to be a national seed. So, yeah, it should be an exciting year and fun year and some good teams coming in.
Switch over to the hardwood now. Got back in Baptist Health Arena this past year fully. What has been your sense of the improvements made to Baptist Health Arena, how having a basketball season with all those enhanced things for the fans?
Yeah, the whole fan experience has greatly changed. And I think people come in, there's a sense of pride of how nice this place is, and it is. I mean, it's remarkable. Everybody did a great job on that, and I think, you know, it can get loud in there. It really can get loud in there. So both teams had great years last year in terms of just at home and the excitement that they had, and our fans got into it. I just think it's, you know, when you walk in there, things are different in terms of, you know, the amenities are better, video boards are better. You got the clubs that are so nice, and I think just you walk in, and that's what I've always said, is your chest just sticks out a little bit more because you're proud of what that place is. And many people have been through, you know, graduations and concerts and orientations. They've done a lot of things there, right? They know what it was, and it had a great history, and now this is kind of a new history with all the new things we've got going on there. And there's some other things that we need to tweak and even make it better, and we'll do that. But our facility in basketball is not holding us back. That's not it. So that's one of the positive things that we have that we can recruit to. So I look forward to basketball season as well, but we got to get football underway here pretty soon.
Spring sports first. It definitely is a home court advantage. And one of the things real quick that I like about it is these opposing teams come in, and the first time they step foot on the campus, or on not on the campus, but on the court, they're kind of amazed. They're like, wow, I've seen this maybe on a game on ESPN+, but it's really nice. It's really a home court advantage.
Yeah, and again, if you've never been here, you don't know what to expect. If you've been here, then you realize what the transformation was. Maybe not a player, but an administrator or a coach who's been here longer than a year or two. Again, with both kids changing and switching you know, only being a team for 1 year, they don't know the difference either.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's a positive thing, and I think when you see it and our crowd gets into it, people like coming to play here. I always, not that I played at this level certainly, but when I was with teams, I want to go, even if there's 5,000 people yelling against me. That's a great atmosphere, a great environment, and that's what I'd rather be there than be 35 people in the gym.
Right.
That's no fun.
Right. As we wrap up here, for those that have been watching this that may not know, they've heard us talk about fundraising and how can we help EKU. What are some ways that they can do that if they want to help a specific sport, if they want to give to the athletic department as a whole? How can they do that?
Yeah, we've got our Colonel Club that allows you to give to all those types of things, right? If you want to give to the Colonel Club just overall to help our athletics department, you can do that. If you want to give to a certain sport, you have that ability to do that. Even if you're a sponsor out there and you want to get involved, you know, you talk to our athletic department, Terry Johnson. He'll certainly be more than happy to talk to you. And that can go from the NIL situation as well. I mean, we've got things out here that are both NIL and sponsorship that go to help our programs indirectly with student-athlete aid or to our department. So I think there's, you know, our Maroon Fund is our NIL group that would also take your interest in terms of wanting to endorse our student-athletes. And, again, they have to do something to get that money. So those are kind of the biggest things. We always appreciate, and what we need more than anything, really, is do you be a season ticket holder. Mm-hmm. If you could be a season ticket holder, that way you're not, you know, everybody thinks they got to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars or $50,000. The way you can help is you be a season ticket holder and bring a friend or bring your neighbor or something like that. And if we all could do that and we just chip away at it, that would be the biggest way you could help us.
And for more information on that, they can go to the website.
Go to the website.
EKUsports.com.
You got it. That would be the first way to go. You can come in here and talk to Ray, Big Play. Never mind, sorry.
Let's don't alter his ego. Give him the big head.
But yeah, that would be the best way to do it. Go to the website. You can certainly go on there and click on any tickets you'd want to have. But we appreciate what people do. Certainly those that have given, those that are season tickets currently, we thank you and can't thank them enough. And I always enjoy going to the games because I see our season ticket holders, which are friends and colleagues out in the community, and I appreciate the fact that they support EKU so much.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here one last time for the final question. Looking ahead to this next year, I know you don't want to single out teams, but what are a couple of programs that you're really excited about for this upcoming year?
Well, here's a difficulty, Wes. I haven't seen too many of our new kids, right? I mean, basketball's got eight new people. Football, I think Coach was really excited about what they had done in spring ball. Women's basketball was excited about their recruits. So it's really hard for me to here's what I'll answer that question. I need to be excited that basketball does well. I need to be excited that football does well. And you're going to say, well, you shouldn't leave anybody out because you want everybody to be. I agree with that. I think we're going to be really, really good in volleyball. I mean, I think if we're not picked to win it or second, I'd be shocked, right? They got everybody coming back pretty much. So I expect them to do really well, and John has done a great job. I mean, she's done a super job. So we need basketballs to do well. We want and need football to do well. I think the longer Jan is here with baseball, we're going to continue to keep getting better and better. He's just too good a coach not to be. But that sport's a little bit tougher in getting players. You know, our funding right now with revenue shares got to get better to help him. But he's a good baseball mind, and we're going to get better there. So I think, you know, we need to improve in every area. It's hard to improve in women's basketball when you win the championship. But I think we're going to be in contention all the time there. And our expectations are win them all sports. I mean, there's some that are funded less than others, but that doesn't mean we can't win championships. And I look forward to those sports that really we need to win in to help us move forward the most.
Well, even talking about baseball, the way they ended the season, winning six of the last seven, certainly gives you bright hope for the future. Well, Kyle, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We always enjoy getting to talk to you around this time of year, kind of give your current state of what EKU athletics looks like.
Thanks, Wes.
All right, that's Kyle Motes visiting with us here on the podcast today. Thanks so much for watching. This is Wes Chandler alongside Kyle Motes, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for kicking it with the Colonels.